my friends. Welcome again to the weekly podcast. This airs every Saturday for you. In case you're not sure what all goes on during the week, on Monday, there's a blog that's out there available. Best way to access that is to subscribe to the blog via my website at monicaswank.org. On Wednesday, words of encouragement. Thursdays are short video clips. I'm revamping that format, so you're going to see a little bit different change in that. And then Friday's resources available to you, new resources available to you, I should say, because you're not going to necessarily know which ones are added each week, but there is a resource page at the website. And then on Saturdays, the podcast. Just so you know, again, the easiest way to make sure you're guaranteeing yourself access to the podcast is subscribing to it. You can subscribe either through Spotify or through Apple. I'm on both platforms now, so that would be the easiest way for you to do that, and it'll pop up for you when there's a new one available. So today, I have this really fascinating topic. You're all going to love it. I can hear you all cringing now. But really, very seriously here, have you ever had that moment in your life when you can feel the tears brimming on the tops of your eyelids, the bottom eyelid, anyhow, of your eyes, you know, right? That just moment you can feel them filling up your eyes and you have this urge to fight them with all of your might. Okay, I want you to hang in there. I'm not talking about crying. Just bear with me. But sure you have. Sure you've felt those moments, right? Why do we do that? Tears are a reaction to some inner sensation. So whether it's a physical or an emotional response, they exist in a sense as an overflow. We've heard such things as, you know, they're cleansing, they wash away pain. Well, yeah, those idioms aren't entirely wrong. Because have you ever had a good cry only to find that at the end you have this complete and total release? So typically, tears are a reaction to an intense feeling. Again, this might be in the form of, you know, some horrible physical pain, or maybe it's a deeply traumatic pain, or on the complete opposite spectrum of that, this could be a really great, joyful moment in your life. Right? Why do people cry at weddings? Well, here we go. That's why, right? Extreme emotion or extreme feeling. But whatever it is, either way or however that comes about, it's the body's natural release. So I use pretty strong words to identify why our body responds with tears. But what about when we cry at movies? I think there's a whole other backstory to that. But memory is a really strange thing. Okay, so I sort of gave a hint away, but now you're kind of going, what? I love when I start with the teaser and you're thinking to yourself, is she really talking about crying? No, I'm going to say no on that one. How about second guess, intense emotions? So this is totally squirrel moment here. I have this friend who is an avid reader. She's much more of a reader than I am. And my husband has dubbed me as a page turner. That's how much I like to read. But this friend of mine can pick up a book and be in a chapter or two. And actually, she's so intuitive about what she reads that she can determine early on what the outcome is going to be. And she's usually pretty close to right. So did that give you time to figure out what I'm talking about? That was totally a squirrel moment. Sorry guys, sometimes I just go there. Well, today's sort of a mix. So if you were trying to figure it out, you're going to get bits and pieces of it probably right. But the goal for me always is making sure that you have the resources needed to combat the world on a daily basis. So on my website, I have a few categories set aside for podcasts and videos. And one of those headings is understanding ourselves. This isn't a fluke, because in everything that I do or write, I speak through individual or group, I'm always seeking to help people understand, above all things, who they are first and foremost. My reason for that is that if we can get a grasp for who we are, then we move towards discovering what tools we need to improve or reshape our thoughts. I suppose maybe it would help if I had a start button here, but that's not where I'm at, and that's, I don't think, what you need. I want to touch real quick before I go any further. One of the things, some of you listen to this and you think, well, I don't really need to improve or reshape my thoughts. As you listen, I wonder if you'll see a difference in that thought. But for those of you who think you aren't in that space, that's okay. There's a lot of us who aren't, and so be grateful that you're not. But I think for you that there's much you can take away for this, because it continues to improve health. It's kind of like being on the treadmill, and you're already in shape, but yet you continue to do that. So come along with me and listen and add your own thoughts to this as I share about why we resist tears. And hopefully by the time we end, not only will you feel more comfortable about crying, but you'll be able to turn in the right direction to access your tools, your own personal tools. In a lot of my podcasts, I use stories because I think stories help us to explain the individual to explain things easier, but I think also they help us to understand things easier because we relate to them in some way or another. We don't relate to every piece of them, but we do kind of grasp we grasp moments of the story, right, as our own. So let me tell you this story. The other day, I call my husband because I'm feeling, for lack of better words, distraught. Okay, and here's what was happening in my world. I have some difficult events taking place in my life, and that day they were pressing in from every angle, and they were especially hard for me in that moment. It was this kind of the squeeze. You've probably felt that before in your life, right? And so it really was causing a lot of discomfort, and I felt really distraught about this. I'm going to unpack that, so let me start with this. But as I call my husband on the phone, I started the conversation with, I'm not going to cry. Why do we say that stuff, right? Well, why do you think I did that? Let me back up just a second. I said that I called him because I was in a rough spot, which says to me that I'd reached out to him to share the struggle that I was feeling at the time. I didn't reach out to him because I needed him to fix it, and I didn't need him to tell me that all was going to turn out okay in the end. I called him because he was a safe place, because I knew from his personal experiences in his own life that he was aware of the pain that I was experiencing. And again, because he does life with me, I knew he wasn't going to judge me for being emotional. My goodness, he knows I'm a leaker. So that was going to not be a part of our conversation, and I felt safe in that place. Yet, oddly enough, I resisted crying so much that I gave voice to it. Why do you think that I reacted that way? Again, this is the piece I really want you to engage in. What would cause me to do that? Well, some of you out there listening are probably in the same age bracket as me, and you might start with an answer that would reflect this idea. Maybe you and I were taught early on that crying was wrong as young children. I don't typically like to separate gender here, but if you're a man, this could have more impact for you, right? Because especially in Western world, if you're a man, not only is crying wrong, it's just downright forbidden at times. But what about this idea that crying is equated to weakness? Or remember that part about memories? Maybe there's an attached memory that tears are negative. Do you see the wide range of associations attached to crying? So if you're in the same space as me, what would be your reasons for resisting a good cry? Think about it. Are those reasons behind that legit, or are they someone else's ideas that are imprinted into your mind? And they're so imprinted in a way that you've brought them into your inner circle of belief systems. This is a part where I'm talking about being interactive, guys. I really want you to process. I really want you to think about that. I'm going to make a couple suggestions to you here. I want to start first with this idea that tears are a natural process in which our bodies respond to intense emotion or physical impact. I already mentioned it briefly, but think about it this way. Tears are natural in such a way that they're natural, just like going to the restroom. Sorry for the analogy, but that's natural. We don't have a lot of control over that. Tears are natural, such as eating and digesting food is natural. We don't think about the process of digestion. It just happens. Or tears are natural, such as when we cut ourselves, we bleed. Natural body responses. And as much as you and I have a lot of control over our body and the functions of it, we don't have ultimate control. And so we need to understand that there are things that happen in our bodies, and as a result of things from internally from our bodies, that are natural. And no matter how hard we try to resist them, we don't always have control over those. Tears are a piece of that. Tears are such a natural part of our body's response system. But why do we attempt to fight them? I'm going to say to you, I think a lot of that is built around the influences in our lives. But since this is about us today and not about influences, I want you to think about for what reasons you do what you do. Because somewhere along the way, you had to buy into the lie that forces you to hold your tears at bay. Sure, someone might have implanted that idea there for you, but you accepted it and you made it a part of your life. For me and my story, I knew logically at the moment when I was calling my husband, I knew logically that everything was going to be all right. The situation would come, it was going to go, and life eventually would right itself again. I wasn't overly worried. There might have been a piece of that in there, but I wasn't overly worried, and neither was I hurt. But even though I knew these truths, that sounded odd, truths, even though I knew these truths, my brain was emotionally tapped. Remember I said distraught, pressed in on every side? My brain was emotionally tapped. I was too tired to fight off these natural tendencies that I have to believe myself a failure. Okay, one more piece. Are you resonating with any of these topics I'm bringing in here? So tears for me, the idea of tears were not because I felt like a failure, but I had this deep emotional sadness. And because of this weakness, I was in this place where I was resisting them. Okay, I just said a couple things there. I said I naturally lie to myself, telling myself I'm a failure. I want you to hear that. It's really important. I also said that it was because I felt weak. So let me explain these just briefly. I understand that I'm not a failure. I knew that in the moment when I made that phone call. The real problem was that I was feeling weak in a moment in which my brain was overwhelmed with heavy stuff. And that heavy stuff was pushing against my reality that says life will be all right. So I know and I understand truth. I know and I understand self-talk. I know and I understand transformation, but I was tired. You've been there? You know what I'm talking about? So these tears, they were brimming on my eyes because I didn't want my husband to think I was weak. And I was too tired to express exactly what I wanted. Remember, this topic is not necessarily about crying. It's about knowing ourselves. So in that phone conversation, the end result looks something like this. I told him how I was feeling. I talked about my disappointment in real terms, not what I perceived or those false truths that were trying to seek out my energy from my brain. I don't know. Those false truths that were trying to squeeze their way back in, right? So I talked about him about my disappointment in real terms. And I admitted that these events in my life made me sad. And when I did those things, that's when the tears fell over my eyelids. Why does that happen? See, those tears didn't come as weakness. I wasn't representing weakness by expressing those things. And all of those things were truth, so I wasn't resisting them. They didn't come as a weakness, but they came as a release. See, what happened is I had two choices in that moment. I could lean back into the old self who was whispering in my ear, you're a failure, you're a failure, you're a failure. Okay, I could have leaned back into that old me. Or I could allow the truth to permeate the situation. I want you to hear that word. I could allow the truth to permeate the situation, permeate it, soak so deep in, it becomes everything in us, right? I could allow truth to permeate the situation. I want you to hear this because some of you are sitting in this space right now and I want you to hear this. I'm not saying truth is easy. I would never suggest that to you. Sometimes truth is downright hard to speak. Sometimes saying the truth rips us apart at the core. Because it represents something that we don't want to let out. I get that. I've been there with you guys. When I say I want to take this journey with you, it's because I'm familiar with some of the pieces and parts you're journeying along. Truth is downright difficult at times. But if you are in a space in which truth is really hard for you, I want you to hear this. Truth is by far the healthier option. Because when we combat the false truths that get seated in our brain and we allow to grow, or we allow these lies that we self-perceive to soak into us, they create a space that is false and not healthy. Even if truth is harder to speak to ourselves and to those around us, it's still way healthier. So, let me ask you again, what do you do and why do you do what you do? I am not saying to you here you need a good cry. I mean, maybe you do. I sometimes can use them. But I want you to know why you don't want to cry. If you know what's behind the behaviors that you act out, then controlling and changing them become a reality. And I tell people all the time to pay attention to why they're reacting the way they are, because behind every action or reaction is a thought. What goes into it? Why do you do what you do? In the example that I shared with you guys, I talked about my tiredness, and it was creating this space in my mind in which there was confusion between the old me and the new me. I needed to know myself so well that I was able to recognize that weakness. And the weakness was not the tears, it was the lie that I'm a failure. I needed to be able to see that with truth. But there's another dynamic here. I needed to be honest with myself about where I was in the moment. Okay? I was tired, I was weak, I was sad. I knew I was pressed in on every edge at this point. I needed to be honest about this stuff happening in my world. Because all of these things culminate to create a need for release. Whatever that natural physical response is, I knew my body was pressed in, my brain was pressed in, I needed a natural physical release, a response. And it's not weakness to cry, it's a response to cry. So for all the things that I've shared to you, some of these things might look different for you. Well, I would argue that most of us have some form of negative self-talk to a degree. It's possible that this podcast doesn't have a ton of bearing for you, but I think there's much you can take away from it. And I said that at the beginning. There is a point in learning how to recognize those things that drive us into crisis or difficult places, and how we respond in a healthy way. I want to give you a couple examples here before I leave you today, and I want you to give this a try. Some of these things you're going to recognize, but here are some, again, just some real basic things that you can try. First of all, recognize what happens to you when you're in high emotion. So when I say high emotion, it could be things like anger, sadness, joy, whatever it is, but it's an intensity within you, okay? So when I'm talking about recognizing that, what happens in your space? What are your thoughts? What starts to take place for you physically? Is there a tension that goes on? I'm not gonna give you, I don't want to feed you answers in this. I want you to really think about what these things are for you. So when I say recognize, think about your thoughts. What are you experiencing internally and physically in these high emotion moments? Okay, this could happen at a little tiny thing, and this could be a massive thing, right? This could be a thing at the grocery store where you and somebody vie for the same grocery line and something sets you off. This could be an argument with a loved one. So any of these things could be high emotion. It's not just in an intense situation. I want you to understand that. So the next thing I want you to look at is, how do you release these moments of intense physical or emotional impact? You do something, whether it's internalize again or actually get rid of them a different way. How do you do that? What's your release for intense physical or emotional impact? And what physical behavior follows those emotions? Okay, thirdly, if there is negativity attached to your thoughts or actions, what is it? If in those moments of high emotion you felt negativity, name that negativity. If you acted in negativity, name that negativity. And then consider in what ways you could alter that. Okay, these are just basic self-recognition tools. I'm always talking about transformational. So the next step is transformational. Until you find a tool that works specifically for you to move into transform thoughts, here's just a simple exercise that you can try. And it is one you have heard for many years now. Take in that deep breath. Through your nose, hold it for at least 10 seconds, and then slowly release it through your mouth. I know this is typically a calming exercise, and this is really not a bad place or time to use this when you're talking about high emotion. But I think another thing that this exercise does for us is it recenters us and it pulls us back to where we are in the space in the current situation. So try this, do that deep breath in, hold it for 10 seconds and then slowly just release it. There's another element I want to add to this because I'm a firm believer that what we're told in 2 Corinthians 2:17 is true. That we can be made new as human beings. I don't care if you're 3, you're 16, or you're 62. We can be made new. And that comes through our faith in Christ. So while I believe you can be transformed through your own efforts, and I will stand behind that, I believe that there's a permanence that's found only in the place that is built upon that relationship between you and God. So transformation can take place through you and your efforts. Permanent change and lasting change can take place between you and God. So here's an add-on to that simple exercise that I gave you. While you're taking that deep breath in, say something like, "Come." And while you're holding it for 10 seconds, repeat over in your mind, "Jesus." And then when you allow that to release, say something like, "Come." So it would sound something like this. "Come, Jesus, 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 come." Okay? It allows that connection for you and God to take place. It allows that permanence to seep into that because it allows Him to do the work. There's no right or wrong way to do any of this. I actually sing the song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus," in moments like this. Okay, I sing just like the first verse because I don't know the whole song. But when I am in these moments, sometimes for me what happens is I just pick these simple words and turn my eyes, turn my reflection, turn my focus back into Jesus because then it allows Him to do the heavy lifting. But the point being is it allows for the process of change to begin. There are next steps. Okay, I gave you some really basic, simple steps you can use here. Part of transformation is discipleship in the world of a believer. So there are next steps. If you're in that place that you want to go further in your faith, you want to feel a different connection maybe between you and God, you want to grow in your faith, those next steps are available for you too. This is not just about crisis or trauma or trying to move through some difficult space. There are next steps for each of my listeners, I promise. And if you go to the homepage, I mention this a lot, but if you go to the homepage and on the far right on the bottom, you're going to see a contact link. Message me if you're looking for direction in this area. There's lots of options open for you. Again, all the resources that are available via the podcast, those are designed specifically to allow you to learn how to impact change in your life. Videos are going to really guide you more in your faith. And the blogs are going to bring in different topics each week that you might connect with. But know this above everything else, I am praying for you as you journey along life's pathway. I love you, my friend. Until next time, blessings to you.